welcome everyone to our Connecticut Mid conference call. We want to thank everyone for listening in our conference call tonight and also too on our podcast. And if you, this is your first time listening to our Kinetic podcast, this is geared towards a resource that is geared towards kids ministers, anyone that's involved in children's ministry or Sunday school. And we want to thank you for listening tonight. We have two great speakers that are going to be talking tonight. And our first speaker is a good friend of mine, Shannon Peacock. He's a children's evangelist from the great state of Georgia. And he's been in kids ministry, whether it be leading a local kids ministry or evangelizing across the country for at least 15 years. And he comes from Faith Tabernacle in Conyers under Dr. Patterson. And it is so good to have him. Shannon, thank you so much for being on the call tonight.
Thanks for having me, brothers.
Shannon, those of you, those that are familiar with your ministry probably know about the Kids Reaching Kids program and your passion to see kids not only saved, but to see kids equipped and trained in reaching out to other children. And I think that's awesome because I think really, you know, we need to teach kids and give them the tools now to be soul winners and not wait until they get older. So tell us a little bit about the Kids Reaching Kids program and your philosophy behind it. And kind of with that, kind of tell us, how can we equip children to be soul winners right now?
Well, in 2005, there's a little girl at our church, Treasure, who taught her friend a Bible study. Now, she didn't do it with any kind of material. She just had a friend over. They were both about seven at the time. And she had a friend over, and she taught her a Bible study. She brought her to a New Year's service, and her friend won the Holy Ghost. And she got it that night. And it changed Treasure, and it also changed me because the scripture struck me, train up a child in the way they should go. We often, not necessarily in word, but in practice, replace that with teach up a child. And they are two very different things. Teaching is part of training, but training is many things. It's demonstrating, showing them how to do it, stepping them through it, rewarding them, giving them the equipment to do it. Soldiers are not taught; they are trained. They go through all of these things. They're given the equipment, given everything that they need, and you know, kind of two and two really just started to come together for me, because we know I could. There's plenty of studies I could quote, but I won't bore you with that. That whatever a child learns when they are under the age of 10. Sticks more than anything else. The short explanation of that is, since the brain is has a lot of surface area, what they are taught, it's like something on a tree, and the tree just kind of growing around it and consuming it. When a child learns something at a young age, it becomes woven into the fabric of who they are. That's why we don't wait till someone is a teenager to teach them math. If someone were to start learning their very first math concept at 12 years old, they would probably never get it. So not only we already know that we don't start teaching them the Bible that late, so we can't start training them to live the Bible, to be the Bible, to do what all Christians are called to do until that age as well. I remember with me, it almost seemed like a specialty when I was a child. Someone who's a soul winner, that person's there, that guy, that girl, she brings them to church, and it almost seemed like a specialized kind of thing. You know, I see specialized ministry, but soul winning is not a specialized ministry. It's not a department of the church. I always say it is the church. So we began to develop this program, and we wrote some materials. The first draft of our basic Bible study was a nice little Microsoft Word cut and copy, dumpy little looking thing. And but you know, it improved this the Sunday school department, the UPC Sunday school department. Brother Erickson at the time helped us out a lot to step it up. And our version now, we're very happy with it. It's simple, easy to use. It teaches Acts 2:38, and simple games and puzzles. The at the end of the Bible study, the children invite their friends to church. They give them this little 8-page booklet that they've taught them salvation, give it to them, and the children invite their friends to church. And this is another little key that we teach kids. Don't just invite your friends to church, bring them. That's part of what we teach. Bring your friends to church. We've all invited someone. They said they'd be there, and then they didn't show up. The key, the answer to that is bring them. Let me pick you up. Let's go have coffee before church. Or my mom will, in kids' case, my mom will pick you up and so forth. So that's that basic Bible study was the first thing that we developed, and then we developed a discipleship course it's a 7-chapter story about a young man going on a jungle adventure, a mission trip to the jungle, and each chapter of the story has a lesson that correlates with it, and we also have a DVD that teaches all these things, and a handbook that shows churches how to implement it. But basically, what we want now, if someone else has a program or something. Something that will work for them. That's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine. I've always said I am not going to try to push a product, but I am going to try to promote a principle. But we want this, and again, if I say this, I don't necessarily mean our program, Kids Reaching Kids, but I want this in every church. Imagine how our statistics would change if children were taught when they're children. We've got a captive audience in kids, so we're going to train a lot more at one time. You know, when you get to our age, you got to train people to be soul winners almost through a guilt process. But with kids, it's just not like that. It's just not. You say, hey, you want to win your friends, bring them to heaven, take them to heaven? Yeah, sure, all right. So we've got a captive audience. It's going to stay in them much more and woven into the fabric of their nature. And we're going to keep more of them because remember how it was for those of you parents when you became a parent, that child changed you forever. It made you accountable to life in a brand new way. Well, this winning a soul gives us an accountability to the church, to the kingdom of God, and to this person like nothing else does. And one of the concerns that some parents and churches, adults have is, well, is this going to be a big burden on the kids? What if their friends don't want to come to church? What if their friends, are they going to be saying, I don't want my kid to die, worry about their friends going to hell? And kids just aren't like that. You know, if you have a child deal with that, that's a personality issue. A child maybe deals with that same kind of thing on some other level, that's been my observation and experience anyway. So we want churches to have a big kickoff. We want them to, throw a big kickoff weekend and have their kids bring friends to church, teach Bible studies, and just keep working it at their church, and have a director at their church. It doesn't have to be a teacher. It's good if it is that can keep this going, help the kids in all their efforts.
That's very good. That's very good. And I think, you know, really the whole kind of underlying philosophy of what you're saying, Shannon, is, you know, why this is so important is that we're teaching kids, that not only it's important for them to come to church, you know, but we're teaching them a culture where it needs to be second nature, for them to bring their friends, to invite their friends. Because if all we teach is, you know, to our kids is, you know, being fed and the principles of the Word of God, and that's it. But if we don't give them a desire and a love for souls right now, like you said, it's going to be a lot more difficult for that to come across when they get older. And
absolutely.
I like what you said about this concept is unique and it's different, but really it shouldn't be. It should be just part of our churches. It should be a part
exactly.
of the way that we teach kids. So, and you've given us some great advice. Now, what are some steps, practical steps that kids ministries can take? You know, maybe a smaller church that doesn't have a lot of resources. And again, I want you to promote your products tonight. But what are some simple steps, maybe even outside of that, that churches can take or that Sunday school teachers can take to kind of start this culture and raising children and teaching them the importance of soul winning.
Well, like I said, one way to kind of, you know, there's something about some kind of kickoff event that makes things just so, you know, official. I know it certainly does with kids. Anyway, it seems like for kids, anything that adults do is just, you know, by definition, legitimate and, you know, the thing to do. We tell churches, you know, have a big kickoff to start off with because we want to let the kids know this is a big deal. You know, we're not just going to start. Well, I'm not trying to belittle starting a new chapter in Sunday school or something like that, but you know, we don't want to just say, hey, we're going to start teaching this new thing and open up your books tonight and just or whatever, however you teach Sunday school or children's church or whatever. But we need to do something that lets the kids know this is a big deal. This is something we want you to be involved the way that we've over the years developed the basic kickoff weekend is like a Friday night service, or you know, a Thursday and a Friday if the church wants to do that, children's service Saturday, a big pizza party with name brand pizza and name brand drinks and prizes and that kind of thing, lots of games. Just you know, your church knows how to do it. Wherever you go to church, you know what your neighborhood, your friends like. Some bring a giant bounce house or slide, inflatable slide, that kind of thing. And you do that for a while, and then you invite now this is at your church, so you can, if you will, get away with teaching Bible studies. But you set all of them down. They eat pizza, and as they're starting to finish up pizza, you say, hey, kids, we want to teach you a Bible study. And all the kids at your church teach each other a Bible study. What I do is I'll kind of lead the whole thing and just teach everybody, including the kids at that church, a Bible study at once. Some churches teach, kind of go over the Bible study with their kids ahead of time so that they can just split up into groups and their children at their church will already be prepared on how to teach the Bible study. So they'll split up into groups and teach it that way. And then on Sunday, try to get as many of those kids there and have a big kid service in the church. Tell the whole church what a great job the kids are doing. Let them see who all taught their first Bible study the day before. And have a person. As long as it's somebody that is really dedicated to the cause, it doesn't really have to be a teacher. Although whoever leads the Kids Reaching Kids program at a church, you know, you will you'll want to you know, be in the class. You'll need to go to the classes to talk to the kids about different things that's going on, and you know, that just kind of works. You know, goes how you work it out. The duties for a Kids Reaching Kids director is in our book, Kids Reaching Kids, More Than Just a Concept. That's all these things are, by the way, since you mentioned our products, Josh, they're on our website, shannonpeacock.com. The handbook is now an ebook for immediate download. That's sold through the Pentecostal Publishing House, and that link's also on my website. So all the duties of someone and how they maintain the program at their church is in there. That's a little more detailed than we may have time to go over tonight. But keep it going. Keep encouraging the kids. Keep talking to the kids. High five them. Let the whole whenever someone teaches a Bible study, get word out to the parents. If someone teaches a Bible study and that child brings a friend and they bring that friend and pray them through to the Holy Ghost service, let the whole church know. Keep the church connected. Give them there's outlines for giving prizes for teaching Bible studies. Some kids at first are going to be motivated by getting prizes and that kind of thing, you know, making, you know, getting Bible bucks or whatever for each Bible study you teach and different thing that you do. And that's fine if that's how they're motivated at first, because we often teach kids a lot of things that's how they're motivated at first. You know, our own children, but as they grow up, they see, now I see why my parents motivated me the way that they do. It was just for the prizes then. It was just for the whatever. But now I truly see the value of it.
Right. That's good. That's good. That's a very practical advice that we can use. So thank you so much, Shannon, for being on the call tonight. And just like he said, you can check out Shannon's ministry. He's got a dynamic children's ministry. He has taught in many, many churches across the country. You can check out his ministry and his products at shannonpeacock.com. Shannon, thank you so much for being on the call tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Next up, my co-host, my good friend, co-host of this call, Rick Crouch, is going to take over, and he's going to introduce our next call. Rick?
Thank you, Josh. I'm so excited to introduce Chris Hebron. His church life has been his entire life since he was a child. As a matter of fact, he doesn't remember a time when serving and music and ministry wasn't a part of his life. After college, Chris moved to Alexandria and started attending the Pentecostals of Alexandria, where he immediately got involved in the music program, playing drums in the Sunday school department. Now, Chris and his wife, Andrea, are very active in the POA. Together, they lead Wonderland and the POA Kids, that's the infant and toddler and children's ministry, as well as Chris being involved full-time on the church staff. Last August, they did their part to increase church attendance by welcoming their daughter, Kate, into the world. And I know that was an exciting time for them. What is exciting for me is to introduce to you Chris's alter ego, Larry Breeze. He's the other half of the duo and probably the better-looking half of Bunch and Breeze. And we're very excited to have you on the call tonight, Chris.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you will be glad to know that I introduced Pastor Cunningham's out of Chesapeake, Virginia, Pastor Cunningham's personal assistant, pastor at our church named Mike Robinson. I introduced him to the ministry of Bunch and Breeze today. He had never seen Bunch and Breeze in action.
So y'all had revival on Tuesday.
Yeah, we were singing along with Revival Man today.
Well, I'm glad it would help somebody.
Yeah, it was a great ministry. Being at POA and dealing with such a large children's ministry is probably giving you some great experience that we'd like to share with all of the listeners today. And so our first question is this: how do we create an effective follow-up system for our first-time guests in children's ministry? Tell us a little bit about what you have done.
Well, and this, to be honest, this is even a struggle for us at POA, but it's something that we're always working on, and a lot of this greatly depends on our staff members and getting them involved, and we break everything down by grade at POA. So our first grade teachers, they're responsible for contacting or following up to the guests that are in first grade and so forth. So getting our staff members, which are grade teachers, involved and having them to do the emails. We send out postcards to the kids saying thanks for coming. It's a customized postcard with our logo and everything, so sent out to the kids. If their teachers are responsible for doing that, or an email if we get that information, and also a phone call if we have that information. The deal, if they come with their parents, if they're a first-time guest with their parents, it's easier for us to get the information because we can get phone numbers, email addresses, mailing addresses from parents. But if the child comes with another one of our POA kid members, it's a little more difficult. So it takes a little more effort to get that information from them. But getting the teachers involved, we have one person, individual, that sees that it gets done, but it's up to the teachers of that grade, whatever particular grade that visitor's in, to make sure that they follow up on that. So I hope that answers that a little bit.
Yeah, it does. That's a great concept because kids love, I like the postcard concept because kids love getting mail. I can't tell you the number of times I have an 8-year-old son and he just loves getting mail, whether it's a postcard or a letter from family. Kids love
it. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And kids today at younger ages, I notice, are getting their own email accounts that their parents are supervising.
Right, especially the older you get up to fourth and fifth graders, a lot of them do. And with it, we also do, and this is not necessarily first-time guests, but any guest and a lot of our members, we send out postcards. Also, if our kids get baptized, we send out postcards congratulating, a customized postcard congratulating them. Or if we find out they're in the hospital or there's been a loss in their family or a birthday, we send out postcards to them. Because like you said, kids love getting mail. So we try to do that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that I like that you did mention was the personal attention or a personal phone call from the teacher of that grade. I know that teacher is operating on a week to week and developing a relationship with those kids. And so that personal attention beyond the classroom, that phone call or even that letter from them, that postcard from them, is going to mean a lot, have a great impact.
Right. And it helps the teacher as well. And it builds a little trust with the parents because they realize when their kid does come to POA Kids on Wednesday or Sunday, that person is who that kid is going to be sitting with and going to be taught by and interacting with.
Absolutely. Now, one of the other things we wanted to tap into your experience over at POA is that I know you have a fairly large staff, a lot of volunteers that you're working with. So tell us, how can we energize our children's ministry and keep our volunteers inspired and keep everything fresh?
Pay them about $500 a week, each individual. No, really, just letting them, and I wish that everybody could join in and we could all talk, because I would probably get a lot of ideas for everybody from everybody listening. Because both of these things that the last question and this question, this is things that we have struggles with, issues with, and we're always learning on this. But as far as keeping the volunteers fresh, is we find out is letting them get involved as much as they want to, or as much as a pastor will allow them. Sometimes a pastor will know an issue that we may not know or other staff members may not know and say, try to keep them reined in some. But if a college kid wants to be involved in drama and that's their passion, we try to make sure that that's where they can be. We've got older staff members, and they just connect with the kids. They don't want to teach. They don't want to do anything but just connect with the kids and sit with the kids and maybe help police the kids on a Wednesday and Sunday. But they have that connection, and if that's what they feel like that will keep them involved in children's ministry, we try to make that happen. Putting them where they won't burn out is a big thing, and we have discovered that if we can catch the burnout before it's a wildfire, I guess, we can talk them out of it most of the time. Not always, but most of the time we can talk a staff member out of saying, hey, I'm burnt out, I'm going to get out a while, I'm going to take a break. We can say, if they're teaching a class and we feel like the kids are what's helping burn them out, then we'll put them in a snack room and help make snacks or something that they can still feel involved, but they're not getting burnt out over it. So we try to work that out to keep them the fire burning inside them for children's ministry. But most of them became involved in children's ministry because they loved working with children. They weren't made to do it. So we try to find something they enjoy and use them as long as they enjoy it. And if they burn out or before they burn out, find something else so they'll stay with us, because it's hard. And most of you listening will know it's hard to keep good staff members. A lot of them will use any excuse to go sit on a pew and not have to do anything. So we try to keep as many as we can and keep them excited.
Exactly, exactly. My experience in building and maintaining the staff and keeping people inspired is something that I heard you say during your conversation there, was that basically you have to let people come in and operate within their niche. Some people
right.
like to just hang out with the kids. Some people, I have college and career kids that, you know, that they're not on the staff weekly, but they come in and they'll be energized and wanting to work with the music, with the motion
yep.
songs, things of that nature. And so when you let people operate within their gift and exercise their passion, I think it not only fuels and the fire that's within that volunteer, but it also inspires the kids as well.
Exactly. It helps the kids and helps the person that's involved. And so getting them involved is a major deal. Especially we use a lot of college kids and POA kids and finding out what they enjoy. Most of them enjoy the drama, the skits, the music, all the hand motions and things. They enjoy the action songs, all of that stuff. And if sometimes they come to us and say, we want to do this, and we try them out, and it just doesn't work out, and we find something else for them to do. But giving them the opportunity to find it out is all part of it.
That's right. That's right. I love children's ministry, and I love the fact that when you can find somebody that has a burden for it, and you're not just forcing somebody into a position, and that's the key, is just finding those people that have the burden for it, like you say, that, you know,
right,
they're not looking for a way out, they're not being forced to do this, but it's just in them because they really love children and children's ministry.
Right, and we try not to guilt anybody into coming on board with POA Kids staff. We make a plea at times that if there's anybody that would like to be a part of course they have to go through different steps of becoming involved and being on staff, but I think if they have the burden for kids and following their pastor, it can be a great deal for them.
Amen. Well, Chris, we have really enjoyed having you on the call tonight and sharing your experience. I know that you're doing a great job, and it was so exciting to have you on the call. We're gonna turn the call back over to another great children's evangelist, Josh Combs, and he's gonna close out our call for us.
All right, thanks for having me. Good to hear Shannon speaking earlier as well.
Oh, thank you for being on the call.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chris. And again, I want to say thanks to Chris and Shannon for being on the call tonight. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And this is going to be our last call up until September, so we're going to be taking a break for the summer. And I know summer's busy with camps and VBSs. But hopefully, you know, we've kind of created a repertoire, if you will, of resources. So check out our Kinetic site, kineticcall.podomatic.com. Check that out, and hopefully, you know, this is something to where our teachers and Sunday school workers are continuing to listen to our past calls and our past podcasts, and we'll be shooting those out. And so everyone have a great summer. God bless, and thank you again for listening to our podcast.